Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Wednesday. We're having a little FaceTime date right now, so we are not based in the same location because Deep T is in Dallas, so
yet again,
virtual.
Yes, I'm here visiting my niece again. Dude, I literally have so many little kid rhymes stuck in my head. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself because I've just been singing it over and over again. Like, old MacDonald had a farm. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know, but it's so cute. I'm like, wow, who am I? I am Auntie Deeps right now for the next few days.
Crazy. I look at little kids and there's like all these new TV shows for kids that are really popular. Mm-hmm. Like, is it called Baby Shark?
Baby Shark, yes.
It's like not relatable because like we never had Baby Shark growing up.
No. Also, on the way here at the airport, I could not believe at least two people got turned away because they didn't have a passport or a real ID.
What did they have?
They had nothing. They had to go. They just had their driver's license. And obviously now it's mandated to have the real ID. And I thought to myself, I was like, if it wasn't for my dad, my beautiful, beautiful father, who forced me to go get a real ID 4 months ago, I would be in the same predicament. Like, I would have to use my passport.
Do you think without your dad, you would have never gotten the real ID?
No, because you know how many documents it takes to get the real ID? Like, there's no way I would have been like, yeah, let me go to the DMV and like, today I'm just going to go and get this done, this task completed. No, my type B personality is like, oh, the deadline's tomorrow. Let me wait in this 6 hour line to go and get it done.
Because look, I'm not going to lie. I got my real ID back in 2022.
Honestly, that doesn't surprise me. You're very type A and you're very on top of it. If you got like a notification or a notice to be like, hey, you need the real ID in 5 years, you would get it the next day.
No, literally, that's what happened.
But you know what's crazy? I looked up when they like mandated the real ID or when the real ID even became a thing. And it was back in 2008. And then they kept pushing the deadline, kept pushing the deadline. And now it's 2005. And I'm like, you know what? I relate to this.
It's not 2005. It's 2025.
Well, that's what I meant. It's the year 2000.
You're like, it's 25. Not 2005. I wish.
You know what I meant.
I feel like I'm the type of person where I remember it being on my to-do list. Like, I have to get the real ID. And I have this thing where I have to check things off of my to-do list. If it's like lingering too long on my to-do list, like it bothers me. Like, I kind of get anxiety over it.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. My ADHD brain, like, I just know that my brain is impacted because as I'm doing my to-do list, like I'll start doing the dishes and I'm like, what's that mop doing over here? And then I'm like, oh, this part of the floor needs to be mopped. And then like, I'll find something and I'm like, wait a minute, I can't mop because there's a package on the floor. And then I'll take the package and I'll try to put it away. Like that's how my brain works. It's chaos. So I'm the type of person that I'll do everything I'll start the to-do list and then I'll do everything but the to-do list until the deadline's like the next day. And I'm like, I'm freaking out.
Look, I mean, live your life, you know?
You know, it works for me. It's chaos, but I'll get it done by the deadline.
You know, that's why dads are so important.
Dads are so important. And also I leave every important document, like my social security card, my birth certificate, all of that stuff is all at my parents' house. So I'm like, Dad, when's the next time I need to go do something? You know, he's my to-do list. Like he gives me my to-do list. He's in charge of it.
But I feel like that's crazy. that they still have all of your documents.
Yeah, because I just don't want it in my apartment. I don't trust my apartment. I don't know why, but like I don't have a safe. Like I just feel like it's safer at my parents' place.
But can I tell you, I actually think it's safer in your apartment because this is why I love living in an apartment building. Let's say someone walks into your building and is trying to rob any place, mm-hmm. not specifically you. They have so many units to choose from. Like the chances of it being you is so little versus let's say your parents' house in a neighborhood, right? There's probably mm-hmm. like 10 houses maybe on a side street. I was like, chances are high they're going to break your parents' window. Meanwhile, here, like, you know what? Like, what's the chances they're going to like try to get into my apartment?
I mean, that's true facts. And that's very valid point. But I mean, they do have a security system, which is helpful. But you're right. By that time, like, I don't know. Who knows what could happen? But the way my parents work is they'll put things in intricate places, like very, very like they'll hide shit in like the most random places. The robbers will never find it. So,
but you know what sucks about that is I used to do that. Like I hid, this is a lot of money. I hid $1,000 when mm-hmm. I was like in my 20s. I hid it in like one of my coat pockets and I ended up donating that coat. And then in my, I used to have a planner and I put in the back page where I hid stuff.
Yeah.
$1,000 was in that coat pocket. I was like, I hope I made someone's day because I ruined mine.
You know, you made someone's day, which you know what? You're paying it forward. But I'm the queen of doing that too, because like I said, I kind of am like a little chaotic, but then there's like a method to the chaos. And anytime I deviate from that and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hide this in a very, very specific place. I completely forget where I hide it. So yeah. I'm like, that method doesn't work for me anymore. Just have the organized chaos. But you're right. I don't know. I just feel like it's all my stuff, all my important stuff is safer with my parents.
No, okay.
Thank you. I'm glad I convinced you. Natalie, I have to tell you about this incident that happened to me. And of course, it involves my nails. I should learn my lesson by now to not go to new people constantly and have one nail tech at all times who just knows your nails. But I wanted to get fun nails because I'm going to Spain next week. And I asked for like a pretty design and I'm showing it for our pod besties who are watching, but for those who are listening, it's just like cute little almond shaped nails with like a little flower design on it. And this is what I got. And it's so bad. It's so bad.
You got like the Temu version of what you actually wanted.
I truly got the Temu version. And as he was doing it, I was like, oh my God, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. But every single moment he looked up and he goes, does it look good? I'm like, yes, it looks beautiful. And I looked over at my sister-in-law. I was like, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I feel like when you're getting your nails done, the only right answer is to say, it's beautiful. I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get it next time. You are a magician.
Exactly. Because it's going to take like 20 more minutes for them to take it off and then redo it. But I was crying because, first of all, he also misunderstood me because I said, hey, like, I would love for you to trim the nails and then make it an almond shape. And he thought I said, cut the nail and put almond tips. So he made my nails so short. And like, you know me, I don't like short nails. I don't like short nails at all. And I was like, I should have known though, because as soon as he cut the first nail, I was like, that's really short. But did I say anything to him?
No. You can't. You just let them go.
I just let them go. I'm like, there's a vision. He has a vision. Let him go with it. But they're so bad. Like, I honestly, like, what is that design? It's like a ribbon.
I feel like I could have done it. I think you should have asked me.
I literally texted you immediately after and I was like, I have another nail story for you.
Okay. I don't think the design is bad, but he definitely made your nails look bubbly. You know what I'm saying? Where it's, there's so many layers of polish that mm-hmm. it's like you have, I don't know, little volleyballs on each nail.
Why would you say that to me?
But I think they're cute.
No, I know exactly
what you mean. Like I said, I like the color.
So these are dip nails. And this is exactly what happened to my sister-in-law, Hina, as well. Like, if you look at it, it's like a big bubble on top. And I'm like, yeah. No, I could cry. I could literally cry.
But I know at the end of that nail session, you were like, I love it so much. Thank you so much.
No, Natalie, love it. This time around, usually I'm like, oh, I love it. And I still did say that, but he specifically, I think he knew he did a bad job because he literally looked at me and goes, I hope you love it. And I was like, I do. I love it. You know, when your voice just goes in a high-pitched squeak.
You're like overcompensating. So you're like, I adore it. Yeah. It's the best I've ever gotten in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Note that person. And then, you know, like you, a little piece of your heart and soul dies when you go to pay for it. And you're like, how much was it? The design was extra. You know what I mean?
Especially when you're tipping.
Honestly, I didn't even know how to act or what to do because... Cause like, it's almost too late to say anything. Cause like one, he already cut the nail off. So I'm like, well, now the rest of the nails have to match. There's nothing you can really do about it. You know, I'm not paying for
tips. You can't have like one short nail.
Yeah. Like imagine that, you know, but the fact that I was watching the disaster happen and I'm like, it looks great. I hate it all, but they're so bad. And I don't even know what to do. Should I go back today? You think and be like, can I get it fixed?
What do you think? No. I feel like if you left saying you love it and you validated him throughout each step of the process, you literally can't go back. You can't be like, oh, no, I hate it.
Yeah.
That's like me when I'm at a restaurant. Like, mm-hmm. You know when you get served like not great food
mm-hmm.
and then the waiter comes around and he's like, how's everything tasting? I'll be like, oh, it's scrumptious. Oh, the best meal I've ever eaten.
Not
so much. Oh my gosh. Like, I want to order another one right now. Like, I'll overdo it.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, I don't know why I do that.
Yes.
Like, why?
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I am the worst at restaurants to correct anything. Like if I said something like, oh my gosh, like no mushrooms or something, and there's mushrooms in my dish, and I'm like, it's fine. I don't need to say anything. I can pick it out. I'll pick it out. It's not a problem.
No, yeah, I'm the worst at that. Yeah. But don't you feel like they just know? Like they know most customers won't be like, I hate it. Take it back to the chef.
I don't know because I feel like the service industry, there's a lot of rude people. And when they don't like something, they can be very vocal. Like, I don't know. People are like the worst sometimes. I just can't. You and I are not that type where we're like, you know, making a scene about it. But yeah, because I mean, we are paying for something and it's a meal that we're consuming. So we should be able to get it the way we want it. But something about saying it out loud and being like, I'm sorry to bother you, but like, can you please go fix this? It just doesn't feel right to me. I don't know why.
No. I agree. I feel like because I've been so bothered in my life by other people that I'm like, I'm not trying to bother this waiter or this nail tech, you know?
Exactly.
I'm just like, you know what? Just do what you have to do and let me get out of here.
Yeah, especially because the nail salon is so busy too at the time. And I was like, I'm not going to make you redo this. I already went under the UV blue light. Like, it is permanently attached to my soul for the next 2 weeks.
But also, I feel like I have been in a situation where I'm at a nail salon and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, actually, can I change the color? And you know, when they're like,
yeah. Oh.
And I was like, oh my. And then they're going a little bit rough, like with the nail filer and stuff and yes. like redoing, like, and I'm like, you know what? Next time I'm not going to even say anything.
Yes. You know, you've had a bad experience and you're like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll just pay the $80 extra and come back and redo.
No, for real. And I'll try to placate them by like starting small conversation,
mm-hmm.
but they're like not paying attention to me. And I'm like, I feel awkward. Like, I'm the one in the wrong.
Yes. And also, whoever said going to the nail salon is like a relaxing thing, because I am stressed. Like, I got my toes done too. And as soon as we sat down in the pedicure chair, they were coming at me. Like, one person's doing my nail and I'm like, here we go. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm leaning over and someone's doing my feet. And I'm like, I can't pay attention to both things right now. This is too much multitasking for me.
Do you ever feel like the person next to you is looking at your toes? Oh. And they're probably like, oh my God. Oh God.
all the time, because sometimes I won't shave. Like, I'll have little stubble. And she's like, you know, when you have to pull it up. And I'm like, I think the person next to me is literally watching. And she's like, you're so gross, girl. And also with the callus thing, you know how you can get different packages of pedicures? Yeah. And I'm always like, basic is good. And then she's doing it. And she goes, are you sure? You should get the callus removed. And I'm like, I play tennis, okay? That's why I have some callus. Don't come for me.
No, same. And I was like, I work out once a week, okay? Yeah. That's where this came from. Be like, I'm an athlete.
I'm an athlete. I played last Sunday.
I feel like I have to justify myself to the entire nail salon, especially when they're like working on my heels. Yes. Because, okay, this is TMI maybe, but you know how kind of like the dead skin falls all over the towel?
Oh my God, yes.
And I'm like, that. Oh, it's because I work out so much. And I was like, yes. I run like 10 miles a day. I was like, oh God.
Like, you're just adding random sports. I'm like, I play soccer too. Like, don't, like, it's a thing.
I was like, I'm a football player. I feel like I'm embarrassed.
Yes. And you know what's the worst is like when they're doing something to your feet and they look over at the person next to them and they start talking in a different language. And I'm like, you know, they're talking shit about me. I know it.
I can guarantee it. I'm like, they're talking about how disgusting my feet are. Because when you go to the nail salon to get a pedicure, you know, like your toenails are like grown out a little bit.
Yeah.
So when they take off the previous polish, you're like exposed. It's just like, yeah. Oh.
No, it's bad. That's why I'm doing exposure therapy. I go and get a pedicure every 2 to 3 weeks usually now. Previously, I used to never do that. And I'd be like, oh, I'm mortified. But now I'm like, please. You know what? I have exposure to this now. And I'm just like, talk shit. It's fine. I know you're doing it. It's fine. No big deal.
I will say that's crazy you let stubble grow on your legs, because the only person I will shave my legs for is my nail tech.
Oh, 100%.
Even when I'm in a relationship, the only person I will shave my legs for is the person who is giving me a pedicure.
That is so funny. Oh, man. Well, anyways, I just have to say, it's jump scary with my nails right now, because you see how it's also, my design is dark red. Every time I'm doing something and I look down at my nails, I think I'm bleeding. Because I'm like doing something, I'm like, why am I bleeding? Oh, it's just the design that's bright red.
Oh, they're just squigglies on my nails.
It's just squigglies on my nails. Like, it's okay.
I personally don't think it's that bad, but Natalie,
it's but so bad.
The picture you showed before, I mean,
it's pretty bad.
There's no comparison.
It's pretty bad. And the fact that I have to get it fixed before I go to Spain, because like, come on, there's just no way. This is terrible.
Imagine if you met a guy out there and you guys are really getting along, and then he looks at your nails. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's like, you're bleeding.
Or he's like, I can't talk to her. Her nails are way too
ugly. He's like, so this is your clean girl aesthetic, huh?
He's like, Jesus Christ.
Forget the eyes. Forget the smile. It's the nails that either make it or break it. You
he's
know?
Like, she's beautiful, has a great personality, but oh my God, her nails.
Her nails. That was a deal breaker. Can't move on. You know, imagine getting that text after the date. I'm so sorry. Like, we had great chemistry. You're amazing. I think we have a lot in common, but your choice of nails just really got to me.
It just really didn't meet my standard, you know?
He's like, oh man, I couldn't imagine. I immediately had to text you to be like, please validate me. I need validation.
She texted me and I was going to lie and be like, no, they look great. Yeah. And they kind of do from far away. They're like, fine. But if you look up close, they do. I did tell you they look a little bit bubbly. Like, you can't tell right now, but they look a little bit like a little bubbly.
No, they do. They definitely are. It's they're short. They're the Temu version. I like that.
And look, you know what though? I can't say anything because right now I have nail polish on. And it's just like, you know, the one where it's like chipping away.
I'm not going to lie, because I'm here in Dallas, like visiting my niece, my longer nails before I got these short stubs, I did scratch her a tiny bit and she cried. And I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to hear that.
You're the
of
devil.
It. I know, I'm literally the worst person ever. That's why I felt like it was karma when he cut it short. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to freak out because maybe I just need to. It's fine. It's fine. And then he did the design and I was like, oh, karma is a real bitch. Like, this is terrible.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Natalie, please tell me that you are watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Okay, I'm not. I saw that season 2 just came out, but I've seen clips of this show and these women on the cast are so wild.
It's insane. It's insane. Okay, for the podcasties that haven't watched The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu or seen like the mom talk videos online, basically all you need to know is that this is a group of modern Mormon wives from Utah, and they basically give us like an unfiltered look into their lives as women who are like navigating their own personal issues, and they do have a lot of personal issues, and juggling the friendships within this group. And like Natalie said, there is literally so much drama between these 8 to 9 women. I was on the edge of my seat during every single scene. Like, there's not even one storyline that I'm not remotely interested in. Like, I'm addicted. And you will be too, Natalie. You need to start.
Based on like the clips that I've seen on social media, the reason why I can't like get myself to watch it is it just looks so messy. Like, you know, what triggers me is when you see women who are like so mean to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could just tell they're like so judgy. And the fact they call themselves friends, I feel like my blood will boil and I hate TV like that.
Yeah.
But it is really crazy.
That's funny because that's why exactly I love it. What I find really interesting is the fact that these women make being part of mom talk so exclusive, and they create all these like moral rules around it and what it should represent. But they're all so mean to each other. It's like truly so toxic, but I cannot stop watching it. I really can't.
The clip that's going viral on social media, the one that I saw about the show. So one of the cast members, Taylor, is at a lunch or dinner with her stepdad and mom, along with one of the fathers of her children. And her stepdad and mom are encouraging Taylor to get back with this man,
mm-hmm.
one of the fathers of her children. And she's like, no, he lied to me. And then the stepdad says, you were sleeping over at his house like a few days into your relationship with him. Like, it completely changes the conversation that they're having.
Yeah.
And it's like the stepdad is essentially calling Taylor, I don't know, like trashy.
Yeah. It was like really frustrating to watch that because he's basically shaming her for hooking up with him like 3 days into knowing him. Like, but it's annoying because why are you talking to your daughter like that in front of her ex and then also in front of the cameras for millions of people to watch? Like, sure, if you have this thought, do it in private. But the way he was coming at her, and it's frustrating because I think the whole Mormon culture is like you have to be very submissive to your husband or to your, you know, boyfriend, essentially. And so that's like peeking through in this conversation. And it was disgusting, especially because Taylor's mom didn't even step up and like say, hey, you cannot say that to her. And I know that's what's terrible about it.
I know. It was like one of those things where I was like, I cannot believe dad said that to their kid on national television. Also, he's doubling down on this because I'm embarrassed to say this, but I went to the dad's Instagram page and people are leaving comments being like, hey, that wasn't okay that you are like slut shaming your daughter
mm-hmm.
or your stepdaughter. Like, that is totally not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you completely changed the tune of that conversation
yeah.
and made her feel horrible,
mm-hmm.
like your own daughter. And he goes, well, I'm just having an adult conversation. And he's just like defending himself in the comments. He honestly doesn't think he did anything wrong.
That's the part that gets to me, because as soon as he said that, he's like, what does that say about you? Taylor immediately broke down and was like, yeah, I know. Like, I had no self-respect. Like, I have no self-worth. And she was like, kind of like really upset and down about it. Not because he said that, but more because she's like, oh, I feel it inside too. And in that moment, you should be encouraging your daughter to be like, it's okay. You're in this stage of your life. But like, he was putting her down. And I think that's what makes it really bad. I would crash out. Honestly, I think I would do exactly what Taylor did. I would start crying. I would crash out and immediately leave and be like, cool, you're siding with my ex-boyfriend. Cool. Like, I'm out. I would not speak to them for weeks.
Not only that, but also encouraging her to get back with someone who is a liar. Like, no thanks.
You know what? I was going to ask you. I was like, would you ever want to be a part of Mom Talk or like a girl group like this who's on reality TV?
No.
Oh, I no. I would literally crash out. I don't think I would make it. I would be kicked out of Mom Talk so fast. It's insane.
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't even know how to make a good TikTok anyway. So I was like, Mom Talk, who?
Exactly.
Like, are you kidding me? I'd be like, what do I even post? So I was talking to a friend of mine who's on a reoccurring reality TV show. Mm-hmm. And there's like this delicate balance of like wanting to protect yourself and your family and your personal reputation, but also being super dramatic on TV and like bringing storylines to life, because they're like, you want to get paid. And you also want to make it to the next season. Yep. Like, you don't want to get fired. Like, they're mm-hmm. only going to re-sign the contracts of people who bring something interesting to a show. And yeah. I was like, oh. I was like, I have nothing interesting to bring. I was like, what are they going to film? Like, my storyline would be like, she gets up, goes to a workout class, records her podcast with her ding-dong friend, and has dinner.
How like, dare you? Not a ding-dong. At least you didn't call me a ho-ho. No. Okay. That's what you can blatantly see that from season one to season two, because the girls are just meaner. They're like very, I don't know, just cutthroat in this season. Like some of the girls that I loved, absolutely loved, like Demi in season one is now the mean girl. And I think that's what we see when there's like multiple reoccurring shows of, you know, the same cast. Like, they jump to another level because they're like, I want that paycheck. I want the brand deals. I want my TikTok views up. Like, they care more about that piece of it and social media and the fame and the money than they do, oh, let me create this, like, you know, women empowering videos or like create a reality TV show where they get to learn a lot about me and, I don't know, relate to it, I guess. Some of the girls do. Their personal stories are very sad. And I think a lot of women relate to it. And I'm really glad they shared it. It's very uplifting to watch it because they've come so far. But then you have the other side, the mean girls who are just like, you're really not adding much except for drama, because they don't have a storyline without it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, imagine if we were part of the show, like, what would your storyline be?
Oh, nothing. I would have to create some drama. I'd be like, Natalie, we beefing, okay? Like, yeah. I would text you and be like, hey, like, don't take it personally, but we're going to beef in this episode.
I was like, I'm going to be revealing some things about you, but like, no hurt feelings here.
You know, I love you.
I don't know if you know this, but while we're filming season two of Love is Blind, Kyle sent a Instagram DM to myself and also added Shane and Shayna into the conversation, mm-hmm. asking like, hey, can you ask the producers to like, bring us back on screen. Oh. So I think like producers had end filming with them. Like, you know, they had forced Shayna to break up with Kyle to like end their scenes. They're like, we're no longer filming with you guys. And then Kyle was asking like, can you like try to bring us on? And I think him and Shayna were talking about it. Like, how do we get a little bit more screen time? Oh. Which is fine. But it was one of those things I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, start a fight with you? But I realized like that's like normal for people on reality TV.
Yeah.
We weren't thinking that way.
No, not at all.
But I think that like most of the time, the way Kyle and Shayna acted is actually normal.
Yeah.
For reality TV of like trying to make your mark and like kind of hustling for screen time.
Yeah. Cause I think like we were only exposed to obviously Love is Blind. I personally, I had no idea how it all worked, but I think you see that now that, you know, even with this whole mom talk group, now that they've seen what they can make happen from season one and they've been exposed to it, they're like, oh, let's take it up a notch in season two. And they know they can control more, talk to the producers and be like, hey, let's up the storylines. Let's like create some drama. Let's play these crazy games and like call people out. So I totally understand that. But I did not know that Kyle did that.
I have the DM.
Expose it.
Because sometimes I want to.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
The crazy thing is if someone offered me like, hey, we're going to pay you $1 million to be on this season of a show and you want that $1 million, like, would I up the ante? Like, would I be starting drama? I don't know. Like, I want to say no.
Yeah.
If it was actually in front of me, would I also kind of like exaggerate things and like start shit because I want to make it to the next season or I want the show to get renewed?
Yeah.
So I can make $1 million the next year.
Yeah. And that's why I think about this show. And I'm like, I wonder if a lot of the storylines and the fights that they're getting into and the villain arcs are really made up for our viewers, you know? I don't know. I think about that often, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are because they want a successful TV show.
Or if I was in an environment where everyone was tossing each other on the bus, like I couldn't trust anyone and I knew like someone was talking shit about me or whatever, like I was the weakest link, would I also start talking shit and doing stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
I think if push comes to shove, maybe.
Would
but
you?
I'm not going to lie. For me, I don't think I could ever do that. Even for $1 million, I don't think I would ever join the show. Like, I just couldn't do it.
If they came out with a show called The Secret Lives of Hindu Wives, you wouldn't?
Oh, I would thrive in that space because I'd be like, moral shit, let's go. But you know, the ratings would be so low because they're like, they don't fight, they just pray together. You know, they like don't do shit. No, actually, the Indian culture is, there's so much drama. Aunties are mean. They are mean. I don't think I would thrive. Mom talk is like a walk in the park if compared to like Indian aunties. So,
but I feel like that's like behind the scenes. But once cameras are up, everyone be like,
oh, you're totally
no
right.
No conversations happening.
Culturally, they're like, I'll talk to you later about it.
Yeah, be like, I'll talk to you later when the cameras are gone.
You're totally right. You're totally right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think for $1 million I would do the show because I just know my mental health would suffer and no amount of money could bring that back.
I think I would do it.
I know you would. You would thrive in that environment. Honestly,
if it was for $1 million, I would do it.
Yeah.
If I pocketed $1 million, like it wasn't like a percentage goes here or there to like my agent or like whoever. If I straight up got $1 million, I think I would do it.
You're like, after taxes, it has to be $1 million. And then yes.
And I would go in being like, I'm not going to start drama. But if people start drama with me, I think I would act out because I'm vengeful.
Oh, yeah. I think it's inevitable that people would start drama with you. And honestly, I think you would thrive.
And then I would pull a Blake Lively and I'd be like, Deep D's one of my dragons.
I am Khaleesi.
I'd be like, where's this bitch? And I was like, call you up. And I was like, help me with this fight.
Okay, first of all, I would be the worst one because I would literally be a peacemaker.
If I want to start a fight in a club, not the person I would call.
Oh my God, Natalie. Also, this is hilarious. I haven't told you this yet, but you remember how in last episode, maybe it was 2 episodes ago, I told you that I got into not a fight, but there was like a little tiff at the bar because a girl came up to me and said something to me and like she was like,
because you ordered the extra margarita.
Yeah. So my friend texted me and she said the reason why that girl was mad at you was because you said to her when she was like, can you move if you're not going to order a drink or something? I said, what the helly? to her. Which is, for our pod besties who don't know, that's a TikTok sound. And it goes, what the hell? What the heliante? What the hell? And that's why she was pissed at me, because I was drunkenly saying TikTok sounds. And I said, what
you
the
said,
hell?
You said, what the hell-y to her?
Yeah. And she was like, and then she started yelling at me. I was like, oh, I should have taken myself home. But anyways, that was a
makes
deviation.
So much sense.
Yes.
She was I'm like, so glad you cleared that up.
Clearly, she's not chronically online like I am.
I feel like I'd be mad at you, too, if I was like, hey, if you're not ordering a drink, do you mind like scooting over so I can order one? And that person turned around and said, what the hell-y? I'd be like,
okay, you just made her sound so nice, but I don't think she said it like that. She was just like, can you move if you're not ordering a drink? That was more the tone. And I was like, what the hell-y? Because I'm like, we're at a bar, like, have fun. But anyways, if she was chronically online, she would have gotten in and started laughing, but clearly not my audience.
No, you know what, I feel like I'm chronically online and I've never heard what the hell is before.
You haven't?
No.
What the heliante?
You know what, I think you could actually be on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. No. If you were drunk and you're like, what the hell-y?
Honestly,
starting fights here and there, but
I would just have to be wasted the entire time, apparently.
Yeah.
But anyway, small deviation, my bad.
Speaking about Blake Lively, so she is all over the headlines again. I mean, when is she not?
When is she
not? And it's not for the Justin Baldoni stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah. I feel like every time I see anything Blake Lively now, I'm just like, scroll, scroll, I'm over it. But tell me what's happening.
Okay, well, supposedly a source close to Taylor Swift told People magazine that she has halted her relationship with Blake Lively. And with sources, you just never know, like, are they actually a true source? But this is supposedly huge because People is a favorite media outlet of Taylor Swift's publicist. So people are saying, like, this is probably coming straight from Taylor Swift's team. So essentially, it's because Taylor doesn't like that Blake Lively has kind of weaponized her. I think the biggest example of this is the text messages from Blake Lively to Justin Baldoni, where she compares herself to Khaleesi and calls Taylor Swift one of her dragons.
First of all, I love the Game of Thrones reference because I think it's kind of funny. But the fact that she called Taylor a dragon, that's crazy.
No, I know. She was like saying it to like, essentially, it felt like not a real threat, but more so saying like, don't mess with her because she has these dragons, one being her husband, Ryan Reynolds, and the other one being Taylor Swift. Yeah. And it was such a cringe text. Like, I was like, if my best friend wrote this about me, like behind my back to like weaponize me or like use it to like, you know, as a way to be like, don't mess with me because like Natalie's one of my dragons. Actually, I don't know if I'd feel a way, but like, there'd be no power to that. Like, if someone called me one of their dragons, I was like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, honestly, this would make sense if I did it. And I was like, Natalie is one of my dragons. Because you really would. Actually, you wouldn't be a dragon. You would be Khaleesi in my example. You know, that's the problem.
No. But I think because we would know, like, I have no power to do shit. Yeah. Like, if you brought up that I was one of your dragons, the other person would be like, okay.
Yeah, like, right.
What does that mean?
It's spiritual warfare. You can do that. No,
that's true. And I was like, I'll egg your house.
Yeah, exactly. You will sell. You will send glitter bombs. You will put poop on their doorstep. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. You'll get creative.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
But anyways, I think this whole situation is kind of crazy, but I do think that Ryan is kind of the mastermind behind everything. And I saw a video that was kind of like speaking to this and was like, Blake Lively is not smart enough to do any of this stuff. Like, I think it's Ryan Reynolds behind the scenes that's like kind of puppeteering everything. And I'm like, I kind of see it. And I think it's him that has kind of like the narcissistic traits. But again, I don't know them, allegedly.
But I think it says a lot that Travis Kelce unfollowed Ryan Reynolds and hasn't followed him back. And it definitely wasn't a mistake because I saw this clip where Ryan Reynolds is at an event and he's giving his autograph to fans. And someone yells something like, you know, what do you think about Travis Kelce unfollowing you? And you could tell he heard, like he turns his head.
That's so funny.
But he says something like, oh, where's the pen? Like BC's, you know, signing people's autographs. And So like, he's very much aware. And like, at this point, like, it wasn't a mistake. So mm-hmm. I was like, there is some shit going down in that friendship.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm being honest, I don't think Ryan Reynolds really cares. I'm like, I'm sure.
I think you know what, though? I think they do. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you must care how you're publicly perceived in this case.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially if you're a narcissist.
Yeah.
Like, you care about what people think and what you think is the truth internally.
Yeah, I know. But I also think it's a narcissistic trait not to care and just kind of be like, whatever about it, and kind of try to power grab in a different way. But I think that's why they're going so hard with this lawsuit. And he has so much confidence, or they have so much confidence, that they might win. But I don't know. I also think it's really funny that people place so much importance in who you follow and who you unfollow. Like, the fact that in this day and age, in this modern world, that it makes headlines when someone unfollows you is kind of really weird to think about. Like, it's, why does it feel so dystopian to me?
Okay, but don't you feel like when you make the decision to unfollow someone out of the blue, it mm-hmm. actually means a lot?
Yes, of
like,
course.
Let's say we had just 200 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, let's take away our platforms right now. Let's say I just decided to unfollow someone, like took the time to go into my followings list and unfollow someone that I just saw, you know, several months prior. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel like that's like cutting ties, but digitally?
Oh, 100%. I do think it's important. And I think I get it. I get why it makes headlines. I just think it's funny that like something so simple, but like it's coming from me who literally will go out and make like 10 new friends on the weekend. And I'm like, yo, let me add you on Instagram. And then now I have to follow them for life because I feel too bad about removing them.
You can't unfollow people. No, like, that hurts. It does. I've done that where mm-hmm. like, I'm just like, okay, I haven't talked to them in 10 years. Like, I should probably unfollow them.
Yes.
But then I think about like, oh, what if they notice? Like, will that hurt their feelings?
Oh, absolutely. That's why, here's a little trick. When you unfollow somebody, remove them from your follower list also, because then they'll be like, oh, I thought I followed this person. I guess I didn't. And then they like question it. Then they're like, okay, maybe it's just me. And then, because then otherwise it says like follow back, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, trick.
I should take my own advice and do that. I follow the most random people that I met once and I'll never meet again in my entire life. So
I don't mind following people that are like kind of random, but you know when it's those people that post so much mm-hmm. and you're just like, I feel like I'm getting spammed with their content.
Yes.
And then they start like talking about things on their stories where I was like, this is a little bit unhinged. I'm like, this is where I'm like, I gotta unfollow.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I feel like the best thing that ever happened to Instagram was the mute button. I love the mute button. And you know what else I love? The heart button on stories.
Why?
Because then I don't have to have a conversation with you, but I'm like you, you know, because when before you had to send them me like, hello, or like, oh my God, beautiful. And then they message you back and they're like, thank you so much. How are you doing? And I'm like, no. I don't want to have a conversation. I just want to heart it and I like it and compliment you and then be done.
Okay. I don't know if I'm like getting old, but I can't figure out what heart means on Instagram stories anymore because I heart like almost everything. If I really like someone's stories or like, you know, they post a really beautiful view when they're traveling, I'm going to heart it. But okay. One of my best friends, I got dinner with her and she's like, hey, are you interested in her husband's friend who is single? She goes, because I'll set you guys up. And I was like, no, I'm not. And I was like, why do you think that? She's like, because I heard you liked his Instagram story, or like you do. So he brought it up to my husband and was
so
like,
funny.
You know, I think like Natalie sending me a message. I was like, huh? And I'm like, not into this guy. I met him once at their wedding and ended up like following him because we were tagging each other in photos along with like other people. Mm-hmm. So like, obviously I ended up following him. And I guess because I was liking his stories, he thought I was like trying to hit on him. I don't know.
Wait, that's actually really funny because when you heart like a stranger, like someone you barely know, it does instigate like a thought, because I have had this happen to me too, where some guy that I met out or something like follows me and then he likes something. And in my head, in my DeLulu brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think he like loves me. I think he wants to date. But it's really like, oh, they accidentally did it. Or it's Natalie who's just like, heart, 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 heart.
Or like, I'm sure a lot of people do this when you're in the bathroom mm-hmm. and, you know, you're just like oh, you're done with your business and got to get up. And you just like everything on your phone. I didn't know where I was like pressing and stuff. Absolutely. As I was like placing my phone on the sink, mm-hmm. you know, like things like that. You just never know. Yep. But I didn't realize. Now I'm like hesitant of giving out hearts.
Yes. Don't give it out to strangers.
he was a stranger. He was an acquaintance.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was posting about his travels. Like he also went on a trip and I was like, beautiful heart. I love that heart. Like, you know,
gorgeous. Send me the details.
And I must have done it like too many times in a week. Oh, yeah. Like maybe, I don't know. And he was like, yeah, I think Natalie's into me. Like she's trying to send me a message on Instagram.
I'm not going
to
lie.
That I should make the first move. And I was like, nope.
I could see. I'm sorry. I'm on his side. I would be like, Natalie's interested in me too. If you were doing that.
That's why I was like really confused. Cause mm-hmm. I was like, what do you mean? I'm just loving your content. Now I'm like, oh,
it has a double meaning.
I told my friend, I was like, oh no, like I'm not into it. And he like blacked out at your wedding and like threw up on the dance floor. Like, oh, I don't think I want that.
Yeah.
But you know,
how dare you judge him for that moment? But also I get it. I understand.
Yeah. And but, I was like, you're 39.
Yeah. So
I don't think you should be doing that.
The lesson we've learned here is, Natalie, you cannot be liking everyone's things, just your friends only, no acquaintances, unless you really like them. Like them.
But I was like, oh, I'm not hip. When she was explaining it to me, I was like, oh, I guess I kind of see it. Like,
I'm sorry. Did you
know? But I was like, he never posts. He just posted that like one trip. And I was like, I don't know. He posted like 20 photos. And I was like, I liked like four of them. Like, sue me.
Also, did you just say the word hip? I don't think I'm hip.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I guess I don't get the Instagram flirting game.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, like, I'll send DMs to just like random people, regardless of their gender.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, should I unsend those? Am I flirting?
Actually, I do feel really bad because I'll accidentally heart a story for somebody and I'll unheart it because I'm just like, wait, this is like really random. Or it's like they post something sad or something or like heartbreaking and I'm like liking it. I'm like, that is so rude of me. So then I unheart it. And I always think in my brain, I'm like, oh my God, they probably got a notification that I did that. And then I removed it. I'm like,
they went to your check and they're like, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. Yeah.
So basically, I guess you're what you are saying, though, in regards to the whole Ryan Reynolds and Travis Kelce thing. I guess it does matter. Like how you act online
totally
and who you follow, especially if you're a celebrity, it does matter.
I feel like if you are a huge public figure and you go into your following list to unfollow a specific person that you were just seen with several months prior, like that is purposeful. Like that's a message of like, I feel like that's Travis Kelce saying like, I don't like Ryan Reynolds anymore and he's suspicious.
Yeah.
So if Travis Kelce doesn't like Ryan Reynolds, I don't either.
Yeah. No, I love Travis. Travis. So, yeah.
I think that the drama between Taylor Swift and Blake Lively is real. Imagine if your partner unfollowed your best friend's partner.
Yeah, you know that they're beefing because of that. And the public speculation is accurate. So, and, you know, I get it. And poor Blake, she cannot go to the Chiefs games anymore. That sucks for her. No more being in the box for those.
It's crazy how this became like Justin versus Blake to now Taylor versus Blake,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like horrible that that's happening in the media.
Yeah.
But
It's way worse, right?
Yeah.
That it's Taylor versus Blake now versus Justin.
So Justin and Blake are going to trial March 2026. And I do, out of just pure curiosity, I want to see how Taylor Swift like fits, like what she will say as a witness.
Yeah.
Because she is subpoenaed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's hard to get out of a subpoena.
Actually, I'm not sure how hard it is or not.
We're not lawyers.
Yeah. We're not lawyers. But I don't think she's going to be able to get out of it. And I hope she doesn't because I'm here for the drama.
I know I say I don't watch reality TV often, but I did watch the show Cheat on Netflix, the new reality TV show. It is so crazy. Okay, so the whole premise is that there are 8 couples, and I say couples in quotations because they're actually exes who broke up because someone in the relationship cheated, and they're trying to mend things and rebuild trust through the show. And interestingly enough, all the men in these relationships are the cheaters.
Shocking.
Literally. But it's so sad because it's actually the women in these relationships who are like chasing these men who cheated because they want to make the relationship work again.
That's insane to me. Like, why? Why? Like, I just think to myself, I'm like, they have to be doing it for clout, right?
Whatever reason they're doing it for, like, what I got away from the show is the women are way too good for these men. They are so beautiful, like literally physically more attractive than their male partners. Yeah. And it pisses me off that literally they don't have the self-respect to walk away. But like, we've been in that situation where we've gone back to cheating exes, mm-hmm. but literally watching the show is like seeing that friend who like makes the same mistake over and over again.
Yeah.
And you just like, no, it's not going to work.
Yes. No, it's the worst when you're watching it all unfold and it hits a little too close to home and you're like, please don't do this. I haven't watched the show, but like, you might be persuading me to watch it because, you know, I love reality TV. So I'll give it a watch. But I feel like regardless if they go on the show or not, do they really expect that this is going to be like some form of therapy and anything is going to be fixed? Because once trust is broken, it is the hardest thing to get back. And you can't just be like post show, oh, I think we've worked through so much. I think we're going to be forever happy now. Like, come on, let's be realistic.
And if we're getting into the reality TV logistics of things, like the casting for this show was probably 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Either they responded to a casting notice or a producer DM'd them. It's weird thinking about, yeah, like before the show, like they were going through casting interviews together, being like, we should get on the show because he cheated yeah. and this is what happened and I'm trying to work on things.
And you know, like during that casting process of 3 to 6 months, whatever it is, you know, they're like out there dating women or cheating again. You know,
like, I was like, yeah, how come you guys weren't mending things during the 3 to 6 months while you were in this casting process? Yeah. You had to like save it for the show. But regardless, if we're just going off the show itself, because no one likes knowing how the sausage is made, you know, it's just like, I'm going to just watch what I'm given.
Yes.
Women are so much better than men. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it.
It's always that way. And listen, there's some crazy women out there too. And there's some amazing men. But for the majority of it, men are just, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they just don't get it.
I think what I got away from the show is like, women are so much more empathetic and willing to give chances to these ding dong men mm-hmm. who don't deserve it.
Yep.
Or like, I think we're just nicer, kinder beings.
Yes. And if you have unhealed trauma or you have like certain things about you that you're still working on, you will always attract the type of person that triggers that in you. And I think like that's exactly what happened to me when I was cheated on. I was just like, you know, I have such low self-worth issues. And the fact that I'm so forgiving, I think men see that as an opportunity to be like, oh, I can do anything that I want because this woman will forgive me. And you set the tone, you know? And I don't know. I don't think going on this reality TV show is going to fix any of their problems, but am I here for the drama?
100%.
Yes. I love the drama.
One thing that I've learned about Deepti, she really loves the drama.
That's because I can't participate in the drama myself in my own life. So I need some sort of outlet.
It's a crazy show. I feel like some of them actually want to make it work, but there's this guy named Craig on the show and he is like flirting with this girl named Rebecca who both of them like end up being the villains. And Rebecca's kind of like a homewrecker.
Mm.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but watching Craig, I was like, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like some people will just not change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just not going to change.
No, absolutely. And I'm not saying like once a cheater, always a cheater, because I do think that there are certain moments in life where you make mistakes and you make bad decisions. And I wonder if like, are these men, like, is there a sentiment that they want to work on it? Or like, what's the sentiment?
For some of it, but it's mostly the women trying to make it work. Mm. Actually, you know what? Like, after hearing some stories, like I used to be a hard, like, if you have been a cheater in your past, like, I'm not entertaining you at all. Like, I think you can't change. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like now there's like, it depends on like when you cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you cheated in your early 20s or something, or even your mid 20s, and you're like now, I don't know, like 35, 40 years old, yeah. and you've been faithful since, like, I feel like you won't cheat again.
Yeah.
Like that was just like an immature mistake, or you like actually changed.
Yeah.
But if someone, let's say I was dating, cheated 1 year ago, 2 years ago, I'm like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
There's no way I can actually form a relationship with you because I literally won't trust you.
Yeah. I'd like to think that I would try to understand the perspective, but I think they would have to show so much remorse and guilt and really explain themselves and why they did that. Like, were they in a drunken state? Or I don't know. Like, I think I would have to have a conversation with them. But you're right. As soon as they tell me that fact, I think my entire mood and the entire mindset of the relationship would shift for me. Because every little thing now, I'd be thinking like, oh, is he really out with his friends? Like, what is he saying? And honestly, that's what scares me about relationships sometimes. Like, I think I've watched too many documentaries to where, like, some men have had, like, other families in, like, different countries or different parts of the world. I start to spiral sometimes because you really never truly know somebody. Like, they could have a hidden life, especially if they travel for work or something. Like, it'd be so easy for them to cheat.
Because I feel like people forget, like, when it comes to cheating, there's a lot of lying and sneaking around involved. So, like, it's, like, not just cheating. Mm-hmm. Your partner's also lying purposefully because he knows he's doing something that's hurtful to you mm-hmm. in your relationship. Yeah. So, for me, that's, like, why cheating bugs me.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's a difference if, like, you know, going back to the example, let's say I'm dating someone. If he tells me like he owned up to that cheating, like he was the one to bring it up to his like previous partner versus his partner finding mm-hmm. out and like being like, wait, I found all this receipt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like there'd be one thing if he like owned up to it for guilt, but there's another thing if like he was exposed mm-hmm. because his partner found out. Cause I was like, that means you're a fucking liar.
Yeah. Like you're only sorry you got caught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm about to watch the show because I want to know like, what is the situations and why are these women trying to give these men chances? Like why? Like what's the thought process?
I will say, so it's crazy. And it's also been slammed in the media as a terrible show.
Okay. Like, well, just kidding.
Like I saw this news article and they rate like reality TV shows and they gave it a 2 out of 10. It's one of those shows where it's like, it's so crazy you can't stop watching.
Yeah, it's like mind numbing, but also addicting.
Yeah, like you're just like, these people are insane that they're doing this show, but I don't know. I want to see what happens.
Okay. So, interesting.
I recommend.
Okay. You watch Mormon Wives next and I'll watch Cheat next. And then we'll come back and, you know, yap about it.
Do a little. Anyways, if we have any pod besties who have watched Cheat on Netflix, please tell me what you think. Please DM me or Deep Deep. Yes. Try to convince her to watch it. But it's a crazy show.
Yes. And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.